But this is some real practical, real nitty-gritty, real basic ideas that you can take away today, tomorrow, the next day, and go back and work on in your ministry and your application of that. There's that quote again. Do you have this figured out yet to see what I think is important for us to learn? Rational relationships. If I were to build a development plan for my organization, I would use this as my outline. And begin to, so we've done the strategic planning, we kind of know the big picture of things. Now I'm going to start building my development plan that kind of goes along that one side of the pyramid, right? So this is how I start to build that. These are the areas I begin to look at and assess how well am I doing in each of these eight components or eight areas. Fundraising, recruitment, how do we get people in the door? That could be donors, could be volunteers, recruiting lots of different people. Retention, what are we doing to maintain donor relationships, maintain gifts, maintain volunteer engagement? Public relations, everything that goes out to people about our organization. Website, email, social media, brochures, letters, presentations. Database management. I can't have a relationship with someone if I don't know who they are. And if I need to know who they are, they need to be in my database. Now, your database may just be index cards. Your database may be an Excel spreadsheet. Your database may be a very complicated, complex, and high-powered donor relationship management system. Doesn't really matter. We just need a way to keep track of where people are in relationship to us, and that's the broadest term, database management. Strategic planning, we've talked about that. You got some homework you can do when you go back to kind of continue to build on that. Organization, how do we organize ourselves to do what we're trying to do? We've kind of organized ourselves around the strategic planning process in the last session. We'll now talk about, actually probably on Wednesday, talk about organize your organization, if that makes any sense. That sounds a little bit repetitive or redundant, doesn't it? And then outcomes. What is it we're trying to achieve, and what do we tell people when someone says, what's going on in your organization? How do we keep track of that? So I would start to build my development plan around these eight elements or these eight components. We've already talked about rational relationships. This is a bit of a review, a reminder. We talked about kind of this idea of falling in love, this relationship continuum from the first date all the way through to commitment. You remember that from yesterday? Someone can explain this to Yaro over lunch maybe? When the pronouns change, when the I and the me changes to us and to we, 5 steps to solicitation or invitation, depends how you want to call it. Identifying, qualifying, cultivating, soliciting or inviting, and then sustaining. Now these are shown in a very top-down linear fashion. They are probably more of a cycle, and we'll talk about that toward the end of this presentation. So let's look at identifying first. You can't have a relationship with someone unless you know who they are. You don't know who they are unless you can identify them. So how do we go about, in kind of the jargon that many fundraisers use, we would call this donor acquisition, perhaps, or donor identification. So how do we find people? And here are examples and excuses I hear all the time for nonprofits. Is, you know, we don't know many people. We don't know people who have money. We are just not well connected in the community. We're just not sure how to go about finding new people. Gosh, we wish we knew someone who knew Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or some other, you know, mega gazillionaire. And these are our reasons, yes. I don't think they're very good reasons. Because we all know more people than we realize. And if we're in relationship, we can use those relationships to help build folks. So I want to talk about a concept we call linkage. in this idea of identifying people that could be part of our donor database, be a potential contact, be a potential relationship. And linkage is simply how someone is linked to your organization. It's not rocket science. It's a very simple process, but many times we as nonprofit leaders and ministry leaders forget about this process and don't use this process. Other people use it kind of naturally. It's almost second nature to them. But it's something we can think about very intentionally and act on very intentionally to make sure that we're making the most of who we are linked to. Two types. There's relational linkage and there's created linkage. Sometimes that relational linkage we call natural linkage. Relational linkage is simply this, is someone that already has a connection to your organization. They're probably already in your database. They're on your mailing list. They come to your meetings. You have some sort of a relationship with them already. And the kind of guiding principle behind here is that the people who are most closely linked to you are the ones who will be most engaged with you. So the chances of me picking the phone up and calling Bill Gates, not very good. He's probably not going to take my call. I wouldn't even know how to access his phone number. The chances of me connecting to someone at my church that I know, much greater, right? Much higher. They already know me because I've been an elder there for many, many years. So the relational linkage is people you already know. And here are some examples. You have to think through this for your own organization and ministry. Here are some examples of relational linkage, natural linkage to organizations. If you're in a Christian school, your natural linkage is what? Parents, grandparents, alumni, folks who have gone through the school before, or graduates of your academy. Those are all natural linkage connections. Pregnancy care center, churches, medical staff, clients, people who have been benefited from your services. Church, we have members. We have people who come to our church that aren't members, but they worship with us anyway. Sunday school teachers, small group leaders. Those are all people that can be defined as having natural linkage or relational linkage to your organization. Another group of people that we don't think about sometimes, and again, I will defer, this may not play quite as well in Europe as it does in the United States. But with many ministries in the States, we have organizations or companies that support what we do. It's the plumber that comes in and fixes the leak when it happens. It's the person that comes in and services our air conditioning or heating when it gets cold. We have groups that help provide the printing of our materials, of our newsletter, of our mailings, of our brochures. Those are all potential people that you have a relationship with that might be willing to listen to a conversation about supporting them above and beyond the business that you give them. Because so many of them, in our experience, is that when they work with you, they get really attached to what you're doing, and they see the good that you are doing, and they want to support that as a business in the community. So these are kind of groups of people that we have relationships with that we didn't really think about. Like, do we really have our plumber on our database? Do we have the guy that fixes our car, you know, our ministry van? Do we have that person on our database? Maybe not. But just some other groups that maybe we don't think about as often in terms of potential relationship to build. Then there's creative linkage. We talk about natural. They already have something going on. They know us, we know them in some broad way perhaps. Then there's creative linkage. These are people that we don't know yet. They may not know us yet. We have to create some sort of a linkage and relationship with them. Natural, it's already happening. Created, we have to do something to get that to happen. And these could be a lot of different people within your organization or your community, rather, probably not organization, within your community. Potential partners, potential donors, advocates, people who have influence in the community. I think of respected lead pastors in communities and churches. Maybe a like-minded organization. I talked about this group yesterday that helps work with young women kind of aging out of the foster care system. They partner with a foster care agency. So they kind of know who's coming out of the system at a given time. Not all those women and girls will be able to join our particular ministry, but they at least have built that connection. So they have kind of the front end of the foster care issue, and then they help serve on the back end of that. So they are kind of kindred spirits in many respects. And they also admit they're also kind of competing for the same dollar sometimes. But they realize that the collaboration and working together is more important than whether we're going to, you know, put our stake in the ground and have a turf issue over that. These are all people you can help create, or groups of people that you can create linkage with. And again, the more closely someone is linked to you, the more likely they're going to be to stay engaged, to be engaged and support you at some level, financially, as a volunteer, as an advocate, as a champion. So you're looking for people that maybe share core values, if you have to create this linkage, and give that group of people or the individual an exposure opportunity, what we talked about yesterday. What does that look like? Might be a one-on-one meeting. Might be a small group gathering. Someone yesterday, I forget who, was talking about kind of this topical event that they put together. So people come about a topic, right? And again, I present this kind of top-down and linear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is very much, this is kind of my life in general. My life looks more like the Olympic rings on the Olympic flag, big interlocking circles, than linear or sequential. So kind of keep that in mind. This all kind of comes together. So the first one is identifying. Second step we talk about is qualifying. What does that look like? We've identified somebody. We've had some sort of exposure event. We've met them. They're in the database. Maybe name, email. They came to an event. Whatever that we do to keep track of that. But you think about really anybody. Because of COVID and because of the use of technology, almost anybody can be connected to our ministry. Many times we kind of lock ourselves into a geographic situation because that's where we serve, or that's where our headquarters is. But really anybody could probably be part of our organization in some way, shape, or form. Other thing on qualifying, that comes back a little bit to the relationship continuum we talked about yesterday, is that not everybody's in the same place in relationship with your ministry. I always use example of my neighborhood. You know, 20 houses on the block, on the street, and I know maybe three of them, and only one of them very well. Okay, two, maybe. But we're all on the same street, but we're all in different relationship with each other. And every name in your database is going to be a different place than other people are. So let's say my last name is Long. Let's say there's someone in our database whose name is Lang, L-A-N-G. But they're next to me in the computer is Lang and then Long. But depending on who we are, we might be in very different places in terms of engagement. Very different places in terms of our connectedness to you, our linkage to you. That's what we have to kind of figure out as part of this qualifying. So if someone comes to me at my church, I've been an elder for a number of years. I've been a Bible study leader. I've done other sorts of other things. People kind of know me because of that. But if they don't know who the Lang family is, you're not going to ask them for the same sorts of resources or benefits or support from them as you're going to ask for me, because the relationship is different. Lots of different ways to qualify people. And I'm going to say, I'm not going to pass judgment or give comment on whether any of these are better than the other. But this is a pretty common list that organizations will use to try to qualify people within their database. Linkage type relationship, I take that back. I will make that value judgment. I think that's the most important. Some people try to do that based on wealth. Universities, United States do this all the time. They look for alumni who have high net value. And those are the people they try to build relationships with. It's very targeted. And you can actually go online and build reports and find high-worth individuals within your community if you're going to go find those kind of individuals. Based on profession. If I'm a pregnancy care center, I need medical staff. I need medical support. I'm going to try to build relationships with people who have that kind of background. If I'm in a Christian school, I'm going to build relationships with people that have education background. So kind of by profession, by interests. Are we doing something as a ministry that might be of interest to somebody else who has a similar thought, a similar vision, a similar mindset? working with high school students, secondary school students, in the church situation? Are there other people in the organization, or excuse me, other organizations in the community that work with students? Schools? Sports organizations? Are there other connectors we can make there? I'm going to show you a model that I think helps qualify people, and it's one that we've used for many, many years, and we've had some great examples and some really cool success stories of how to use this. And we simply call it AID, and it just stands for Attend, Involve, and Donate. So if you think about everybody in your database and where they are in relationship to you using this prism, using this perspective, then what does that mean in terms of how you communicate with them, how you work with them, how you talk with them? In my neighborhood, I'm more connected to the three people, like the people right across the street from me and the guy to the right of me, because he has a much better lawnmower than I have, and I'm envious of his lawnmower. But we talk because of, you know, yard and shared border lines and property and that sort of thing. But we're all in different places. So this AID model begins to show you how people are in different relationship with you than other people in your database, and begin to kind of lump people together and group people together in a way that begins to make sense in terms of how we communicate and how we work with them. This is kind of, I would call it a no-brainer. But as we sit around the table and talk with the board members, say, oh, wouldn't it be great if so-and-so was part of our organization? Well, if so-and-so is not in your database, they don't count. You can't qualify them if they haven't been identified first. But many times you sit around the table thinking about, oh gosh, what if, and who do we know, and does anybody know so-and-so? Well, they might, but unless their name's in your database, that doesn't count as a relationship. Jerry Twombly, who developed this material, at one point he was going to seminary, and the seminary said, hey, if you take care of all our fundraising for the seminary, we'll let you go to school for free. He thought that was a good deal. He had no experience in fundraising whatsoever. He's a real relational guy, incredible teacher, communicator, but he'd never been involved in fundraising. And he calls this process kind of everything that he didn't learn in seminary, but it taught him how to build relationships and how to interact with people. So when he first came in, worked to the school he was working with and was just hired to, they said, we have about 45,000 people in our database. And we raised, I think it's like, this is 40 years ago, so like $2.1 million, let's say. That might be not quite right. So his first responsibility from his boss was, you have to get more people in the database, because if we had more people in the database, we could raise more money. And Jerry, his first 2 weeks on the job, went back, and if you're old enough like I am to remember the old green bar accounting paper that came out of your printer, and it had the little pins on the end, and out of the old style computers. He took big stacks home with him and put them next to his favorite chair and just started looking through literally name by name of all the people in the database, 45,000 people. And what he began to realize is, well, all these people are on the same database. They're not in the same relationship with us. And yet we're treating them all the same. They're getting the same newsletter, the same mailers, the same kind of solicitation letter, the same appeal. We're not treating the donor with respect in terms of where they are in relationship to our organization. So that's how we came up with this. And it was real simple. Here's a thought for you, and you can kind of take this. Again, I would be very sensitive to your culture and your country. We use attend, involve, and donate. Those may not connect as well or communicate as well for your organization or for your country. And that's okay. I get it. Your language. So if attend is some place that we think about where they heard about the mission, it was an event, it was a gathering, it was a meeting, that's kind of, we define attend. You may have a better word than attend for you to use. Same with involve. We talk about someone that maybe has volunteered or done something for the ministry, but maybe they haven't really heard what we do or what we're about or had an opportunity to do other than just kind of do the one-off. There's a big bank in my area that has a day of caring every year. And they literally give their employees a half day off, and they disperse them throughout the community. And they do pickup and trash and painting of parking lots and walls for a lot of nonprofits in the community. And it literally is thousands of hours of volunteer time that happen 2 days a year through this organization. Well, I know a lot of people that come to do work in a nonprofit ministry. They have no idea what that ministry does or that organization does until they step in as a volunteer. Maybe hadn't even heard the organization before. That's a great first exposure, exposure event. So you may want to change the AID in something that fits you and your culture and your country a little bit better. But let's look at what this might look like on paper in your database. So I have this fictitious Seeking God's Best ministry that we're in charge of, and that's our organization. So we have a database of individuals, and we don't know how they came in. Maybe they came to an event. Maybe they got a mailing. We're not sure how, but they're on the database. So we're going to try to decipher and discern where they are in relationship to us based on this AID model. So we have Andrew Attender. He's come to something because his last name is Attender. But he's come to something, but he's not done anything else that we can tell in the database. So he's done one of these three things, A, I, or D. Then we have Greg and Elaine. We've gone to lots of different banquets that this organization has done, and we've been involved as a volunteer. Maybe we were a table host. Maybe we came in and did some other things for the organization. So we've done two of those three, A, I, or D. Then we have Vivian Volunteer. Vivian's great. She comes on a regular basis and helps us out with our ministry. But that's all she's done so far. But she's there very faithfully, and she really helps serve us in a big way. But she's done one of these. And then Jerry and Sue, because just Jerry and Sue are just outstanding individuals, they've done all three. They attend, they've been involved for a long time, and they also donate on a regular basis. So we have this kind of this ranking, this listing of where people are in a relationship based on these three criteria. So let's look at this in a little different format. So remember Andrew, remember Greg and Elaine, remember Vivian, remember Jerry and Sue. So we're going to have this kind of stair step that we're going to start looking at and begin to look at people in the database through this kind of stair step. So I'm using a very traditional, you know, U.S. grading system, A, B, C, D. Apologize for that. You can change that to 1, 2, 3, 4. You can change that to green, yellow, blue, red, whatever works for you. But just so you have these categories or kind of differentiations where people are in your database. So someone with no AID, meaning they haven't attended, they haven't been involved, they haven't donated, but somehow they're on the database. Maybe they did a request for information through the website. Maybe they got a brochure through a mailing that we did. Maybe they picked up something at their church that talks about us and they kind of signed up. So they're in the database, but they're not very active. So those people exist, right? Then we have the C prospects. Again, put the number, if you want to use a numerical number, that's fine. They have one of those three, A, I, or D. Then you have people the next step up that have two of those. Doesn't matter which two, any two, but has two of those three. And then you have people that have all three of those connected. So someplace in your database, you're going to have some sort of sort query or a checkbox or a column in your spreadsheet that indicates this person has one of these three, if not all these three, characteristics in terms of their relationship with you. So back to our fictitious example, here it is. We have some people with they're on the database. We don't know why. They showed up somehow on the database. That's okay. Andrew and Vivian have both been involved in one thing, but not the same thing. So they would have this C designation. Greg and Elaine, we get a B designation. And Jerry and Sue, just because they're outstanding people, are on this A designation. When you begin to look at it this way, here's a way that you then begin to manage your time. Someone talked about yesterday, how do we manage our time because I have all the other stuff that I'm doing. Here's one way to begin to look at that. People in your database are there, but haven't been connected to you any other way, through attending, by being involved, or through donating. They have about a 10% likelihood of them responding to something that you're sending out to them. Email, letter, appeal, whatever. 10% roughly. And this is based on some work that we've done. I'll tell you about that in a second. Someone that's done one of those three, doesn't really matter which one of those three, just one of those three, there's about a 30% likelihood they're going to reply or respond to something that you send out to them. People in that B category, 2 out of 3, about a 60% chance of people responding to something that you send out. And people in the higher category have done all three in some way, shape, or form, about a 90% likelihood that they're going to be involved and engaged and responsive to what you're sending out to them. So from a time management standpoint, if I'm looking at this, I'm going to spend a lot of time with the A's and the B's because I know the ones that have the most linkage and are most closely connected to me. I'm not going to ignore the C's and the D's, but I'm going to approach them differently. I'm going to approach them probably less frequently until I get some sort of blip or some sort of open or some sort of forward or some sort of info request that I get from them. So I'm not ignoring them completely. I'm going to work with them differently. Because if the A's and the B's are the ones that have the tightest linkage to us, they're the ones that are most responsive, those are the folks I'm going to spend the most of my time with. But what Jerry found out when he did this work, and that's how he kind of developed this with the university, is that the idea then became a strategy to get to turn the D's into C's, the C's into B's, and the B's into A's. Now, not everybody's going to be an A, and that's okay. But then you learn where people are in relationship to you. So when Jerry implemented this 4 years later in his university, he wasn't convinced they had to have more people in the database. But that's what his charge was. So he had to come up with a different model. So he came up with this. And what they did over 4 years is they had the same number of people in the database, about 45,000. But they went from $2.1 million to $4.5 million using the exact same number of people in the database because they worked in relationship with those individuals. So instead of sending the same thing out every single time to everybody, they began to look more carefully about who they were sending information out to and at what level and at what rate and that sort of thing. So it really is just a way to help maintain and keep track of where people are in relationship and a connection to us. Now, there are others. If you have a database already built into your system, they've probably already given you the fields. Track of this sort of information, you can sort and query by that. And we have some donor relationship management tools that we can recommend. We don't use them ourselves. We have some clients who have a good experience with them. Many of them are appropriate for international work. But it's simply a way to keep track of that. And it doesn't have to be a system. It can be a spreadsheet. It can be, I've seen people use colored index cards. You know, the red was people who donated, and the green was someone who was involved, and the white was just someone who, you know, we had in our database. So it's just a matter of how you want to organize the information, but it helps you, A, remember, and then B, act on, how do you keep track of people where they are in relationship to us? This, that principle that not everybody in the database, even though they're next to each other in the alphabetical list, is in the same place in terms of their relationship with us. And we do that by working on this natural linkage, how are people already connected to us? And then we help create linkage with those groups or individuals that we don't have connections to yet. And that's all kind of part of what we start to build in this leg of the development plan we talk about.